Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
Oh, this young man is a sensation! Dele Alli, out of League One, into the Premier League! Oh, what a goal! It's Danny Rose on his Premier League debut!
Sheringham flick, and Klinsmann is in!
He's got it lost under his feet, and it's come from the middle!
Welcome back to another edition of the Internet's Most Dangerous Tottenham Hotspur Podcast. It's Wheeler Dealer Radio. We're back to talk about a happy topic this week. We're going to skate right past the Bournemouth game and talk about a 2-1 victory in the North London Derby. So I am joined by my regulars this week. We have Ben Daniels. Ben, how are you doing this lovely day?
A lot better than I thought I was going to be doing, I'll be honest.
And Brian Ashlock. Brian, how are you and Luna the Cat doing on this lovely afternoon?
We're amazing as always. Thank you, Gregory.
So yeah, I don't know about you guys. I think Ben just said as much, but after the way we played against Bournemouth, I was really not looking forward to this game against Arsenal. And I think Tottenham probably played their best game under Mourinho, for whatever that's worth. Brian.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, Brian, I mean, was this an impressive performance?
I guess. I mean, I don't know that it's the best. It's the best performance, like, post-Project Restart under Mourinho.
Are we really calling it Project Restart?
I don't know. That's what the Premier League is calling it. I don't know. I'm just using words. but, like, you know, I think it was a good performance. I think it was probably the best performance that we've seen in the last four or five matches. I think it was, in terms of what we expect from Jose Mourinho, in terms of creating a tactical plan to minimize the opposition's strengths and take advantage of their weaknesses, is the best example of that we've seen in a while. And, I mean, yeah, and it resulted in a victory, which is, I mean, that's as much as we can ask for.
I mean, come on. What is even close to this? Like, beating Burnley 5-0? Come on. Like, we have one other win against a good team, and that was like a fluke victory over Man City where we had two shots and two goals.
Hey, there was that, like, one time we didn't get housed by Liverpool. That's like...
Right. I mean, yes, we've beaten other mid-table sides before, but, like, this is categorically a different beast than beating West Ham a couple weeks ago. Like, 3 days ago,
the win against Manchester City is probably, I mean...
I don't know if that was a better performance, but it was certainly
We got outplayed by Manchester City, but we won 2-0, so, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think that was
a complete fluke. We had three shots, we scored two of them, the end. They had 19 shots. They killed us. No, this was a top-to-bottom, we set out to do a job, and we did it well. We beat the crap out of them.
Well, I think Ben, that's actually the telling thing about this game. It's not just that we played well, not just that we had a good strategy for playing Arsenal, which is something that has been lacking in recent matches, but the fact is Arsenal was frankly unlucky that wasn't a bigger margin of victory that we had over them. I mean, I think this easily could have been a 4-1, 5-1 game if things had sort of gone our way. Arsenal was very lucky to get out of this only down by one, or to have a chance to draw, frankly.
Yeah, and I mean, Arsenal, like, they have been in good form. They're unbeaten in the last five. You know, they were, you know, climbing up the table, and before this match, it certainly looked like they were going to be in the hunt for European places, maybe an outside shot at the Champions League if Man City got banned. And we looked like we were, like, battling Burnley and Everton for a finish in the top half of the table. And, you know, when we walked out there today, I mean, that is not how it went at all. I mean, very early on, Harry Kane had a very good chance where he was one-on-one with Emiliano Martinez, who, I mean, honestly had a brilliant game, but came up huge to stop and block Harry Kane's chip shot that should have just set us on our way immediately. You know, their goal was, you know, besides a poor piece of play from Serge Aurier to turn the ball over in our half, but, I mean, Lacazette hit, like, a rocket from 25 yards out into the upper 90. Like, it was not like they were putting together tons of great attacking moves and creating great chances for themselves. Like, they scored a worldie and, you know, made it close. But it really wasn't close.
Yeah, and I mean, like, look, Aubameyang misses a fairly easy chance kind of right after the Harry Kane miss.
That's kind of what Aubameyang does if we want to keep it 100 about Aubameyang.
You know, look, that was honestly their best chance of the game, aside from Ben said, Lacazette scoring an absolute, like, laser. And they didn't really put much together the rest of the game, despite us being pretty shaky in midfield, and despite us playing basically a midfield of just Winks and Lo Celso, which didn't do a lot of defending. I thought in general, like, this was a good match, and I think, you know, if you look at the expected goals of this match, we came out very, very far ahead in terms of that. But just watching it felt a lot closer than that. And I think, you know, probably that's partially because, you know, you had that Aubameyang chance. You have and then you have us miss a couple of pretty decent opportunities, which made it closer than it needed to be.
Absolutely. I mean, I thought Spurs looked clinical. I mean, they didn't look clinical, I guess, because they weren't scoring all those goals, but they were creating chances in a way that I think we all were very – I mean, I think that was one of the things that was extremely frustrating about the Bournemouth match is we just weren't creating chances, let alone, you know, missing them. I mean, today we just looked dangerous in a way that we haven't looked very often, and I think there might be – I mean, I can think of a few reasons for that. It seems like Kane might be a once-a-week player, or at least we need to start rationing his minutes a little bit more. But, you know, he looked threatening in a way he hasn't always looked today. I think one thing Mourinho deserves a lot of credit for, you know, like Brian said earlier, like Mourinho, we sort of expect him to develop specific game plans for specific teams, or at least, you know, teams that were really focused on beating, and that's obviously been something that he's always had a reputation for doing, and usually that's associated with a very negative style of play of shutting down what that team wants to do. And while I think we did that today with some of how the players we chose and how we decided to play Arsenal, I think that was a much more attacking sort of setup than I was ready for under Mourinho, especially after that Bournemouth game. And, you know, credit to him, it worked. I mean, Arsenal looked, especially in the first half, I thought they looked completely flummoxed by what we threw out there. And I thought it worked really well.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're coming off the Bournemouth match where you have zero shots on goal. And, like, no real attacking impetus, like, nothing that even looked like a coherent plan. And then to come into the Arsenal match, and we had, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 shots on goal, and a lot of decent, you know, positions in terms of XG for those shots and those chances. And it really did look like kind of the Mourinho that you expect. Like this is when you sign up for Jose Mourinho, you sign up for all the messy drama, but you also sign up for these coherent match plans, and that's kind of what we got against Arsenal today. And if that was what we got week in and week out, that'd be great. But we're not getting that. We're getting like zero shots on goal against Bournemouth, and so, you know, that this performance is good and it lifts us into eighth. But, you know, when you look at the season overall, it's just like this seems like such an aberration in terms of like recent results.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the last time we looked good was the West Ham match. And I think it is not coincidentally the other match since Project Restart where Harry Kane took a fuckload of shots. He had 6 shots that game. He had 5 shots today. And we just look like a different team when Harry Kane is on it. And he is moving well and pressing and linking up and shooting and getting in the box. And I mean, honestly, our whole front three today were guys who have looked real dog shit at times in the last month or so.
We were all like, very mad about Lucas getting a start today. Like,
yeah, I mean, Lucas has been just a mess running down blind alleys, getting in other players' ways. You know, Son, who I think was arguably our player of the season for most of it, you know, came back from his stint in the military and looked just worn out, like out of ideas, whatever. But all three of those guys were just giving Arsenal fits all day. They were pressing. They were just running down everything. They were creating with each other. They were linking up well. I mean, I think I saw a stat that Lucas had 10 tackles today, which is more tackles than any Spurs player has managed in a game in like 5 years, which is insane from like a guy who's ostensibly one of your forwards. But they were just out there ready to work and ready to press and ready to do their job. And then, like, you look at the Bournemouth match, which, you know, yes, Son and Lucas didn't play, but Bergwijn's been pretty good. Lamella's been Lamella, but none of them looked like they had any ideas. None of them looked like they had any running in their legs. Like, they just – I just don't understand how we get from one to the other other than Arsenal's a game that we care about and Bournemouth is a game we took for granted. But
I agree with that. Like, go ahead, Brian.
Well, the thing I was going to say is, like, Harry Kane wasn't, like – the Harry Kane that we expect in this match either. Like he had a couple of good chances and he did almost score that goal early on. But, you know, aside from that and then maybe like one other chance, he wasn't on the ball a lot, I didn't feel like. And he didn't, you know, he was coming deep to get the ball, you know, a lot. But it was one of those situations where, you know, we've seen him, you know, kind of one game good, one game bad. I didn't see him having a lot of movement in this game. And so, like, while he was better than he was against Bournemouth, I didn't think this was a great Harry Kane performance.
I don't agree with that at all. I mean, yes, he was not, like, the pass master, like, pinging balls into the corners, like, you know, we've seen him do. But he was the guy in the box taking shots. I mean, he had the early chance that he got tipped. He had a couple chances from, like, wide angles that he tried to bend into the far post that just barely missed or just got tipped away. Like, he was incredibly dangerous with the ball in the box.
But
like, that's what you want Harry Kane to do.
I do think there's something to what Brian said. I agree with you, Ben, but I think there's something to what Brian's saying, and it doesn't seem like it's just an effort thing with Kane. We're like, oh, he's got fresher legs. It seems like there is a decision being made in some of these games to have him position himself differently on the pitch. I don't know, interact with the other players differently. And I honestly don't think it can be that, because if it was, that seems so simple. Why aren't we doing it every fucking match? But
we talked about this last pod where we were like, if Harry Kane is limited, then what we should do is focus his limited running and limited, you know, utility at doing the things he does best, which is being in the box and shooting. And I think, and I don't think this is unique to, you know, Mourinho or even post-injury Harry Kane, is that when he feels isolated, he goes hunting for the ball rather than staying up top and trusting his team to do the job for him. And it's just a bigger problem now that he doesn't have the legs he used to have, because he can't go from trying to pick up the ball in midfield to getting back on the end of the move when it finally ends up in the box. So he needs to stop doing that. But I do think that's something that's kind of always been in his game. I think a lot of really good strikers kind of have that in them, where they get frustrated where they're not getting the ball where they want it, so they're going to get the ball where they don't want it just so they can have the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, I think Jose needs to just tell Harry, like, see what happens when you play around the box. Like, you're an excellent striker. And it's unlucky that, you know, he didn't get on the end of anything, but he was doing exactly what you need. And, like, by being so dangerous in the box, you create space for your teammates, and then Son and Lucas look good, and then, you know, even Sissoko and Lo Celso were able to, like, follow up and get into positions in the box, not very successfully, but again, it just opens things up in a way and stretches the team.
How much of these games over the last year, and not just under Mourinho, but under sort of like latter era Pochettino, so going back a full calendar year, have we just been under the cosh because we can't play well? And even if Kane's not scoring goals, if he can have a game like this, if he's bringing guys like Sissoko and Lucas and whatever, and even if they're not creating great shots, we're hassling the other team, we're keeping the ball, we're making life difficult for them, which improves, like, it makes it easier to defend, it makes the, you know, it does create opportunities for guys who are going to score. I mean, you're just making them, and I understand that we've had some games where, you know, like the beginning of the Sheffield United game, we are doing that, we concede that goal out of nowhere, at least out of relatively little possession, and it all sort of falls apart. But when you're keeping the ball and doing shit to the other team, like, you know, things generally work out for you more often than not, even if it's not all coming off. And that's what's so frustrating to me, that we clearly have the ability to do this shit, but we either choose or cannot do it. And frankly, like, I think, honestly, Mikel Arteta has been a little overrated as Arsenal's manager, and we can get into that a little bit. But, like, Arsenal are certainly better than some of the teams we have been unable to sort of do this against. And it's not just teams like Bournemouth that maybe just pack it in. I mean, we've played some teams that we are better than that are willing to sort of come out and play us, and we have been unable to impose ourselves in those matches. I mean, we could do this against Arsenal. We should be able to do this against other teams.
Well, one of the things that I think we saw today was we saw a little bit of a different tactical setup from Spurs.
Well, that's a whole other – that's another conversation, but yeah.
Well, but I'm saying, like, it's just like, you know, look, we've seen a lot of the same lineup, and when the lineup comes out today, you look at it and you go, ugh, same thing. This is exactly – like, this is the old reliable lineup where you've got Winks and Sissoko in midfield, and then, you know, it basically a 4-2-3-1. But the way it pretty much played out was more as a 4-4-2 with Sissoko on the right, Lucas on the left, and then a midfield of Lo Celso and Winks with Son and Kane up top. And it actually worked pretty well with – you know, I thought Moussa Sissoko was actually very good in this match in terms of, you know, look, we've seen him since the league restarted kind of play this responsible midfield role where he drops in and covers for Serge Aurier and kind of plays a conservative central midfield role. And in this match, he is playing not necessarily like a right winger, but like, you know, he did have the freedom to kind of dribble forward and drive into the box. And it did give us a little bit of different options in attack. I'm not saying he created anything amazing because I don't think he really did, but it did give us a little bit more movement in attack than what we saw against Bournemouth, where we had like a very static kind of movement from our midfield and attacking band. And so we had some different attacking plans. We had some different attacking options. You know, Ben already touched on Lucas was very good in terms of he made 10 tackles, but he also made some really good passes. He makes that great chip pass to Kane to set up that early chance. You know, he tackles Nicolas Pepe well early and then drives forward, to kind of create an opportunity. Like Lucas played very well. Sissoko played very well. And they're players that I think collectively we've all been kind of down on since things have restarted. And, all in all, I think that the tactical plan just worked today, which is a weird thing to say for how we've been lately.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the reasons this game maybe doesn't feel as like comprehensive a victory as it maybe should have is A, you know, it was only 2-1, but B, you know, we did create a ton of really good chances. I mean, our forward three had 11 shots between them, and many of them were just incredibly dangerous. But the goals we scored were a back pass that missed David Luiz that Son was able to run into for free, and a header off a corner. And it's like, you know, those don't feel like the kind of like liquid football, incredible passing moves or just brilliant counterattacks that you associate with like a really good win. You know, they were both a little bit fluky. But I mean, I think it's important not to let that take the shine off things.
No, today was a very good win. Today was a very, very good win. I mean, and I think you're right.
I think the one aspect of it is that Arsenal's defenders were just hilarious and just gave up so many bad opportunities. And, you know, maybe that should take some of the shine off it, is that they made it very easy on us, that as long as we were direct and as long as we were driving at them, they were going to fall over their own 2 feet and let us do what we want.
But see, that's where I think we should hold Arsenal the same standards we would hold ourselves. Like, yeah, they've got bad defenders, and if you're Arteta, like, whatever. You started the season with these guys. There's, like, until the season's over, what can you, like, it is what it is. But at the same time, like, I didn't see anything today where, like, they were... let me put it this way. If I had those clowns at my back four, like, I would have done a lot more to protect them than I saw Arsenal doing today. And I don't know if you want to have this conversation now. I think it's a little bit among Spurs fans, this conversation, but I think Arteta is, at least so far, and he might turn out to be a good manager. He might turn out to be a good manager at Arsenal. I think he's incredibly overrated this year. I know they've been playing pretty decent since the restart, but I think they're just all right. I still see a lot of problems there. I think some of their player recruitment that they've already engaged in, which may or may not be him, is questionable at best. I just think the jury is still really out on Arteta, and I think he's just been sort of a devil's advocate, like sort of straw man for, at least in the circles that I follow on Twitter and talk to people about, he's been sort of a straw man against Mourinho, where like Spurs fans asking each other, our friend Vince did this, and a few other Spurs fans I've talked to have done this, you know, have said, you know, would you take Arteta over Mourinho? And I think what that really is, would you take Arsenal player as your coach over Mourinho? But I am just not super impressed with what Arteta's done, or at least I'm not as impressed as certain segments of the English media and Twitter are. But I don't know how you guys feel about that, because I thought today's match was I thought he got thoroughly outcoached by Mourinho, which, given how this season's been going, like, I don't know, like, that would raise my eyebrow.
Yeah, I think Arteta, all right, there's a couple different, like, phases of this Arsenal team this season, so it's kind of hard to have a general thesis, but, you know, they were bad under Emery, then Arteta came in, and they were bad in very much the same way for a while. And then they got okay, I mean, largely on the back of Aubameyang being one of the top scorers in the league, and just generally being very good. You know, like, again, a game like today, they didn't have to be very good. And if Aubameyang gets on the end of that chance early on, we could be in a 2-0 hole, and that's game over. And that doesn't mean Arsenal played any better or different.
Yeah.
You know, just sometimes you have a guy that good that can make the difference. And, you know, they've been very fortunate for that to be the case. But they've also, since a few games into Project Restart, they reintroduced Danny Ceballos into the team and exiled Guendouzi. And, you know, they've made some personnel changes. They switched to a back three with wingbacks. You know, he started doing some things to compensate for the fact that he has a bunch of clowns in his back line. The big signing, Nicola Pepe, who I was surprised to see start.
He's been
on the bench for the young Bukayo Saka for most of the last month or two, and rightfully so. You know, he has made efforts, I think, to kind of improve upon their fortunes that have largely worked. And so I'm not really ready to write him off, because you can see some ideas there, and you can't imagine, well, yeah, get him some better defenders. Maybe they're in better shape. But, and then they go ahead and sign David Luiz to a new contract, and Cedric Suarez, who I don't even know if he's played for Arsenal yet, to a longer contract. And you got to wonder, well, he's even going to have the ability to do that. But, yeah, I think the thing for me that I look at Arteta and get excited about, if I'm an Arsenal fan or even a Spurs fan, is he's a guy with links to the club who is a young manager who you like to imagine, oh, he could be our pet. He could
absolutely
be this guy who you build the future around. And like
you could dream on Arteta, and a lot of the mistakes. I think there's been a lot of mistakes that Arteta's made this year, and I am not impressed with a lot of what they've done. But like you said, he's also a young manager. It's a weird year. He took over the team in the middle of the season. You can explain away a lot of this in the way that it's harder to do with a guy like Mourinho, who, as Brian has said in previous podcasts, you're bringing in to win now. Like, I mean, Mourinho's there to get the team up to speed quickly.
Well, I mean, look, I guess I'm a Emery apologist, if I'm anything.
Like, Emery? Are we talking about Emery or Arteta? Which one are we?
Well, like, I think Emery is a good manager, and I think, like, he got a bum rap at PSG. I think he got a bum rap at Arsenal in that he was set up to fail at Arsenal. And, you know, I think that Arteta is going to get a little more forgiveness than Emery for whatever the results are, because Arteta is, like you said, A, young, and B, a former Arsenal player.
And C, like, he's got the Pep Guardiola seal of approval.
And he has that sort of, you know, that level of pedigree where, you know, like, look, you know, this is a late era Arsene Wenger Arsenal team. Like, this is not an Arsenal team that has undergone massive reformation in the last season and a half, two seasons. This is still the same sort of, you know, problems at the back, good attacker, sort of Arsenal team that we've seen for years and years. And do they have a little more midfield stability with Danny Ceballos? Yeah, absolutely they do. And do they have some great young midfielders or great young attackers in Saka and Willock and, you know, all the Nketiah and all the other players that they can run out? Absolutely they do. But, you know, the problem for Arsenal for years and years has boiled down to what do they have at the back? And really showed in this specific match. Like, you know, you look at David Luiz, who he's not at fault for that first goal, but, like, that back pass really puts him in a bad position to allow Son to get in and score the goal. I mean, their fullback play is still not very good. You know, Ben alluded to, you know, they switched to three at the back, but, you know, they've really done that because, you know, they still don't have a holding midfielder, you know. And it's just like, you know, this is...
Wasn't Jock out there to say...
Yeah, but
I know.
Have we not all seen Granit Xhaka for the last like 5-6 years? Like, come on, like, I mean, you know, this is not peak Arsenal. I don't think Arteta is doing anything revolutionary or amazing with this team. That's not to say that I don't think Arteta may be a good manager. He may very well be, but like, I don't think he's doing anything better or different with this team than Unai Emery was doing.
They are still in ninth. Like, it's, you know, as good as he may be and as many ideas as you may see that he has, they're in ninth. Like, you know, obviously we're in eighth, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. But it's not like that you've seen them really, you know, excel under Arteta's leadership. Like, he's doing some interesting things, but I think Brian nailed it. It's the same old Arsenal with the same strengths and the same weaknesses. Oh, wow, Arsenal has some exciting kids they could bring in? Where have I heard that before? You know? So
how long till they're in Germany?
That's the Arsenal thing. It's like, look, if Arteta had come in and then just benched Xhaka, benched Ozil, benched everybody that was any good, and then was just like, you know what, look, we're playing Nketiah, we're playing Willock, we're playing Saka, we're playing, you know, all these kids that are like the next wave for Arsenal. And then he was like, we're going to ride this out and see. Like, and if they finish 12th, they finish 12th. And if they finish 5th, they finish 5th. Like, but that's not really what's happening. Like, it's still like this weird mix where we're trying to get Europa League. And like, and look, you know, they had more possession here in this match. They had some good opportunities, but they didn't make anything of anything in this match. And Spurs had the best chances, despite having less of the ball. Spurs had, you know, arguably the most dangerous possession. And, you know, the same sorts of problems that we've seen from every Arsenal team, despite the manager, like conceding corners, you know, conceding chances, big chances inside the box, you know. It's the same problems we've seen. Like, this is not a new Arsenal team. This is same old, same old.
Yeah, I have this. I think if any Spurs fans who are looking longingly at Arteta probably aren't after today. I mean, I think, you know, Jose, we've talked about all of his faults for a really long time, and I don't think they're different, and I don't think this erases them or changes anything, but it does show you, you know, what a manager with his experience and his abilities can do in a given game, single game situation. And it's why he's been so successful, particularly as a Champions League manager.
As a knockout competition. In knockout competitions, period.
Say, right. Like, approach each game with a very methodical, tactical game plan and, you know, often turn that into results. I think the flip side of that is he can take a big team and say, okay, well, I'm just going to strangle the life out of this game and hope we're better than them. And Spurs are not, and then it just means we lose or, you know, fail to put a shot on target against Bournemouth. Like, it's nice that we can do stuff like this. Like, I would like this to be a kind of springboard for this team to, you know, believe in what they're capable of, for Jose to believe what they're capable of, and see what the strengths and weaknesses are, because I really don't think he has played lineups and systems that have put these players in the best positions to succeed.
I'm not sure he did it today. Like, would anything have changed today? Not for the better. And I don't want to get into this again just because it's the same fucking conversation every week. But if we swapped out Winks for Ndombele, like, I mean, does that fundamentally inhibit our ability? Not to take away from the things Winks did, but I feel like that gives us a little bit more midfield stability, at least while Ndombele's fit to run around on. And it's just like, the thing about Mourinho is, like, Mourinho brings so much baggage and shit to the club, and whether or not that's worth it is another matter, but it's certainly not worth it if he's not giving you results. And if he gave us more games like this, we all probably wouldn't be ready to, like, you know, burn him at the stake outside of the new stadium, you know, because it's the fact of the matter is, if he's, like, making Lampard look silly and embarrassing Mikel Arteta and, you know, like, getting big victories against big teams, that makes all his other shit a lot more tolerable. And frankly, if he wants to bench a guy like Ndombele, like a record signing, like, he better be getting fucking results. Like, you know, that's one thing. If you're winning big games and racking up points all the time, he can get away with shit like that. But if we're going to be an eighth place team, which, again, is and isn't his fault, you know, you better be, you know, you can't get away with that kind of shit. And that's what's so frustrating about this. And I certainly understand Arsenal fans dreaming on Arteta, and I think that's totally fair, but I think he still has a ways to go as a manager.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as good as this performance was, if you look back the past week or so, a win against Bournemouth and a win against Sheffield United were 2 points back of Leicester, with Leicester still to play, and top four is suddenly a realistic proposition, and we've basically taken it out of our hands. We need Man U to collapse, or Man U or Leicester to continue to collapse, and then Man City to get banned from UEFA competition.
Which looks like
and
it's
then
not.
Maybe
yeah.
We have a shot. And it's frustrating. Like, it's nice that the two big performances we've gotten recently are against West Ham and Arsenal, teams we very much want to beat and take a lot of joy out of beating. But, you know, those are only four games a season. You know, we got to be able to beat and be up for beating other teams.
And I got to say, I never thought the problem with Jose Mourinho would be strangling a team like Bournemouth to death. Like, whatever else I thought was going to be a problem under Mourinho, I thought we'd be able to, like, sort of just murder teams like that fairly easily. Even if it's a dull 1-0 victory, I thought we would at least be able to comfortably beat bad teams. And that seems to have been a real problem under him. And, you know, I know it's a weird season. I know that the guy's on short rest, but it's just, I don't want to have the Mourinho discussion all over again, because, you know, we had a good win today. I think we should feel good about it. And frankly, we talked a lot about it this week, and I don't think a whole lot has changed in terms of where Mourinho is. You know, it's just, I don't know.
This is supposed to be a happy occasion.
It is. It is supposed to be a happy occasion.
Let's not bicker and argue about who killed who.
Well, and honestly, you could look at it as bad as, like, you kind of, like, as much as, like, Spurs squad construction is kind of fucked up, you can look at Arsenal's squad today and think, boy, they have more work to do than we do. I mean, you know, what's going on with Aubameyang? What's, like, Lacazette's sort of what he is, even with the goal today? You know, their back line's a total fucking disaster. They've got some good kids in midfield, but like you said, Ben, we've heard that story before. You know, like, they have just as much, if not more, work to do than we do. And, you know, We outcoached them today. It was a good, solid, enjoyable win, and hopefully we could find a way to build on this and get our attackers more dynamic and more involved in matches. I mean, I don't know. I still feel like we're going down the train tracks with Mourinho. We all know where the destination is going to get us sooner or later, and we're going to have to play out the string. But in the short term, this was a good win. I wish that we could find a way to build on
it. Yeah, well, I mean, look, the position that we're in is like, like Ben said, we're just in eighth. Like, we're just above Arsenal. Arsenal are in ninth. And, I mean, you know, we've got three games left, three definitely winnable fixtures, and maybe we can push to sixth. Like, we're talking about now, like, are we going to be in the Europa League next season? And
remember when we were in the Champions League final? Remember that?
No, it doesn't sound familiar. I don't remember that. That's not right. But, you know, it's just like, the season was already kind of shaping up to be sort of a weird sort of lost season before Mourinho came in. And so now what you have to look at, to me, to me, what you have to look at it for is like, how are we shaping up to do the, you know, the 2020-2021 season? And like, it's weird because there's not going to be much of an off season. It's just going to be sort of like, you know, the last game of the Premier League season comes, and then like, what, like 3 weeks later, boom, we've got, you know, the next season going. But you have to like set yourself up, and I think that you can sort of see what Mourinho's plan is. And it's annoying that Mourinho's plan sucks, but it can be a coherent plan for next season. And I think I think it can be something that maintains us in sort of the top five, top six next year. And it's not really what we want. I know,
we want a title challenge.
I know we want to be top two, top three. We want to be competing with Liverpool and Manchester City. But, like, I don't know. Like, look, Leicester really kind of, I think, fluked into the result they had this season. And Manchester City have been great in the last, like, since January. But do you really think that a team managed by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is really that good? Like, do you have confidence in Manchester United being this good consistently? Do you have faith in Leicester being this good consistently? Like, I have a feeling that this Spurs team can consistently be good. Like, I know the results since the restart haven't been like, it hasn't been pretty to watch, but the Bournemouth match aside, and the Sheffield United result, we've been
Everton match.
No, but we won the Everton match.
Yeah, but we were shitty in the Everton match. Like, yeah, but so it's also like, a deflected shot that happened to go in.
Like, well, we look shitty, but we won 1-0. Like, that's like that's what we signed up for.
In isolation, that match is fine, but it does form a bit of a pattern.
I don't understand that, but it's just like, it's like, look, this is, like I said on the last podcast, this is what we signed up for. We signed up for short-termism. We signed up for win now. We signed up for Jose Mourinho gets us a trophy. Jose Mourinho does, you know, X, Y, Z. We didn't sign up for this is a project. This is building to the future. This is developing players, whatever. This is, I have peak players at the peak of their talents, and I'm going to take them to a trophy regardless of, you know, whatever else is going on. And I know that this takes a huge leap, and this makes me like a super optimist. But like, you have to look at this. To me, you have to look at this Arsenal result and go, yeah, okay, sure. Like, maybe this is what we're looking at for, you know, next season.
I think there's something to that. And Ben, I'm curious as to your thoughts on this, because I know you're the sort of, have the biggest problem with Mourinho, or have had the biggest problem with Mourinho for the longest period of time. I think I could buy a lot of what Brian is saying if we weren't clearly exiling Ndombele. If Ndombele was getting minutes, or if Ndombele was hurt, I could buy a lot of what we're seeing sold. But what frustrates me is, like, we're getting this bad play. And honestly, I could talk myself through a lot of that. Like, you know what? Short season, weird season. Like, Mourinho took over mid-year. Like, I think, and this is something I'd like to talk to you guys about in a minute, I think there's probably more wrong with this core of players than maybe we first thought when things were going bad under Pochettino. You know, now we're on short rest all the time. Maybe things are weird. And maybe I could accept some of, like, the dumb shit Mourinho does, or at least the, like, ugly shit Mourinho does. But when you combine that with, like, he is clearly feuding with a player, and probably that's angling towards an exit, although I think COVID might save us from ourselves here in terms of what is possible in the summer transfer window. That's the thing that I get hung up on. Like, when I could see where Brian's coming from, and I could almost talk myself into it if Mourinho wasn't feuding with one of our biggest signings. And that's just not something that we can afford to do at Tottenham Hotspur. We're not, I mean, it's probably a bad idea no matter what club you're at, but, like, we're not Chelsea, we're not City, we're not United. We can't afford to throw away a, what was it, £67 million signing, whatever it fucking was. I mean, anyway.
Yeah, and I think, you know, so let's, to go back to the Bournemouth match, you know, where we were terrible, Tanguy Ndombele came on at halftime and immediately made us better. you know, like, yes, he made some mistakes and, you know, maybe wasn't quite as fit as he could have been, but he was playing progressive passes, he was launching counterattacks, he was moving the ball in dangerous areas, and it was just, it was the only bright spot in a very bad day. And then after the match, Jose, in typical Jose fashion, was like, Ndombele was as good, no better, no worse than anybody else, it's just whatever. Like, that's my Jose. Do it that way you will. But it was just like, fuck you, man. Like, we all watched that game. We all saw what he brought to the table and how much more dynamic we became as second that he got on the pitch. And so, you know, if I'm Brian and looking at this optimistically, looking at this team, you know, what Jose did today was a lot of things that we've been calling for, was, you know, make Harry Kane be the guy in the box taking shots and maximize his usefulness. And he did, and he was great. You know, take Lucas and put him wide, make him work hard, make him dribble with the ball. I think he had like 5 or 6 dribbles today, instead of making him be, you know, try to be a center forward and make off the ball runs and kind of get in other people's way. And again, and Lucas had arguably the best performance that we've seen from him since maybe Amsterdam, where he was just on it. And, you know, you look at some of these things and say, okay, as long as we keep doing that, we can be good. Like, that front three is really good. You know, if you imagine, like, Winks was fine today, but if you imagine replacing Harry Winks with a guy like Ndombele, and you have Ndombele and Sissoko, or a better defensive midfielder, and Lo Celso, you know, you can see how that counterattacking football could really, really work with guys who get the ball forward quickly. Like, Winks did okay today, but, like, he doesn't give you that. And, like, that's fine in a game like this. It worked. You know, I think our other big weak point this season and today in particular, I think, was our fullbacks. Aurier was kind of a mess, as he always is. You know, he got forward well, but he didn't actually really create very much. Ben Davis, I felt, was fairly anonymous. You know, but you get some dynamic attacking fullbacks in there.
Hey, I mean, like, he cracked the crossbar at that one point. I mean,
he did. He really did. That would have been a hell of a goal.
That really would have been.
But it's like, you know, you can see what's working, and you can see how with just a little bit of tweaks, like, it could be really good. I thought Hugo was great today. The Davinson-Toby partnership, I thought, was excellent today. Even Dyer has been good this season. Like, you know, if we're all firing on these cylinders and looking like this, like, we're not that many pieces away from having a team that can actually do something. But, you know, again, if Ndombele is not going to be the guy and we're feuding with him, then, yeah, I don't feel confident that, like, we're going to sort out our midfield problems. I don't feel confident that, you know, we had a game like this against West Ham a month ago, and we're like, oh, shit, has Jose figured it out in the offseason? Is he going to turn this team around by playing the kind of football we know this team is capable of? And then he very promptly came back down to earth and showed us, no, 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 he has no interest in that. So,
well, it's not,
yeah,
just that.
We've got 3 games left.
But it's that, it's not like we're trying to play good. It'd be one thing if we were trying to do what he said and then we'd fuck it up in some games. He just goes back to this shitty, awful, you know, and it's not, I don't see the consistency. I don't see the, like, we're trying to do this. It's like we play well or interesting for a game or two and we just go back to this staid counterattacking bullshit. Sorry, Ben, I interrupted him.
Yeah, no, but that's exactly it. It's like, you know, we know what this team looks like with all of these players under Pochettino when it is pressing and working hard and attacking quickly. Like, we know these guys are good at that and do it very well. And, you know, that plus a little more defensive solidity shouldn't be an impossible ask. And, you know, again, we've seen it now twice in the last month where that happened. And Jose got the team to operate like this. And, you know, again, we have guys who are at peak abilities, like Heung-Min Son should be amazing right now. And, like, today he was, and lately he hasn't been. Harry Kane isn't going to be the Harry Kane he was, but if he's this Harry Kane, like, that's a team that can cook, man. Like, you can do something. And I don't know, I'm not confident that he can, but if I want to be an optimist like Brian and take this and extrapolate wildly, like, yes, this is the foundation, what we saw today, for a successful Jose Mourinho Tottenham that doesn't take a lot of tweaks to be an actually competitive team in a top four in a knockout situation. Like, we can do some shit. The problem is we've just seen so many times now reasons to not be optimistic.
Isn't it weird that I'm the optimist now?
Like, no, it feels it's like really not.
Complete 180.
No, you're a miserable bastard, and Jose's a miserable bastard. So this is like the perfect synchronicity.
So
that's great.
I don't want to fall. Like, go ahead, Brian. I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna say. I mean, just to pick up on the Ben point. Like, look, we're three games from the end of this season. Who knows what the quote unquote transfer window for the summer is going to look like? I don't even think we have a real clear picture of when next season starts, how much of a break we're going to have, what it's going to look like. But, you know, you get enough of these results, like the Arsenal result, you get that you can see, you can talk yourself into Jose Mourinho being good enough. Good at, you know, and like, yeah, no, it's not great that he's feuding or won't play our record signing. He won't play Ndombele. But he's still putting together a competent team without Ndombele. He's still putting together a competent lineup.
Sometimes.
Where, you know. No, sometimes. But today, he puts together a tactical plan and a lineup that works, you know, regardless of how you feel about Harry Winks or regardless of how you feel about the Winks Lo Celso / Winks Sissoko midfield. It worked to an extent. So I feel like there are reasons to be optimistic. I am to an extent on Ben's side where I don't think, obviously, that this is a long-term solution. I don't necessarily have confidence that we will make really astute, very good signings to make this a thing that 2 years down the road will be maintainable. But if you're going to ask me, where will we be for the 2020-21 season? I don't see why this isn't a top four, top three team. I don't, you know, why isn't this a team that is going to win a trophy? I mean, I think that is Jose Mourinho. Even though we're looking at latter day Jose Mourinho, where we are talking about him being, you know, behind tactical innovations, behind sort of what modern quote-unquote football is, he still wins trophies. He won a Europa League and took Manchester United to a second place in the league. Like, he's not a good manager. He's not the best manager. I still think that a Tottenham Hotspur managed by Jose Mourinho stands a much better chance of winning something than Tottenham Hotspur managed by not Jose and not Pochettino.
I think what worries me is Mourinho is trying to do his thing, and I am skeptical that is actually going to end up being successful. And we're just delaying the sort of overhauling of this team in a sustainable way. We'll see. I mean, one thing I want to talk about before we get out of here today, because we're going to talk a lot about Mourinho in the weeks ahead, is I honestly can't remember who, or I would give you credit. I was talking to someone about this team, and they made the point to me that I hadn't really seriously considered, which is, is this squad more cooked or more of a problem than maybe we considered? I think we thought that maybe they tuned out Pochettino, or they were a little tired because of the... just how crazy last year's run-in was and how thin they were and how many injuries they had. I think I was starting to think after the Bournemouth game, and maybe that's still true, and maybe it's just a product of this COVID restart and where we are now and what a weird season we've had. I'm starting to consider the possibility this squad is just more done than I had previously considered, and that's as much of a problem as sort of Mourinho's Mourinho-ness. Do you think there's any validity to that?
I don't agree, and that may just speak more to my cynicism than anything, but...
I'm not trying to absolve Mourinho. I'm saying it is also a problem. It's just to be clear.
I'm just saying, I may have just thought the squad was more cooked than you did.
So, oh, okay, that's fair.
To me, no, I don't... You know, I think the problems kind of are exactly the problems that we've known. Like, we need better fullbacks. Our star center backs for most of a decade are aging, and we need Davinson, Dyer, or Wanfoyth, or somebody to come in and shore up that back line. Like, we know we need that. We know Winks and Sissoko are guys who are fine to round out a squad but should not be starting at, you know, substantial minutes for this team. Those are, I think, the spots where the squad is quote-unquote cooked, and, like, we know we need reinforcements. The question marks are, really, under Jose, have been the front line.
Yeah, and that's what I think I'm referring to a little bit. I think Kane and Son might be, and Lucas might be a little more done. I mean, we all kind of think Lucas is a little cooked, but I think those three players in particular might be a little more done than we previously thought.
Right. Well, I guess I don't know that that is true. The big question mark for me is Son, honestly. I think Lucas, we kind of know, is a little bit erratic and has his strengths and has his weaknesses. I think buying Bergvine was, like, in part a response to that, and knowing we needed another kind of dangerous attacker. And I think when he's gotten to play consistently, he's shown us glimpses of that. But again, I think Lucas is a guy who, we've said this a lot, has a specific skill set that is very good as long as you play him to do those things. And today we did, and often we don't. Harry Kane, I think, is the key, is how cooked is Harry Kane? And that's just been a question mark that's hung over this team for now 2.5-3 years, is we don't know what we can get out of him. But I will say, seeing him today and seeing him against West Ham leads me to believe there's a lot more life in Harry Kane than I previously believed. And I think the big ask for Jose Mourinho is, because we're not selling Harry Kane, even if maybe it's...
No one's going to buy Harry Kane. Come on.
Sell him while he still has that cachet of great English striker around him. And, you know, if he puts in a couple more performances like this down the stretch, it's like he still has that value. And maybe if he is broken, like, that's the good move. But the reality is we're keeping him. And so the question is how do we get more West Ham and Arsenal games out of Harry Kane and less Everton and Bournemouth out of Harry Kane? And I don't know if that's a matter of managing his minutes or limiting his role on the pitch, you know, or just having a hard conversation with Harry Kane that nobody has been willing to have with Harry Kane, because Harry Kane is Harry Kane and occupies an outsized role in the clubhouse, at the team, on Spurs marketing collateral. Like, you know, he is very much a face of a club that it's hard just, you know, to manage a guy like that. But, you know, Jose does have experience with big egos and guys like that. And if he can get Harry Kane to be, even if he's a little cooked, just less cooked than we hoped, you know, this team seems to rise and fall with him. The only real question mark for me is Son. And I think there's probably a lot of outside factors that contribute to his patchy form of late than anything to do with Son. Like, he hasn't had major injuries. He doesn't look slow. He doesn't look like he moves bad. You know, a game like today, we see what he's capable of at the peak of his powers. We saw just a few months ago him doing this regularly for Spurs.
Under Mourinho, I mean, to be fair.
I don't think our problems are bigger than we thought they were. They just happen to be big problems that need addressing. And again, I hope this is a sign that at least some of the in-house problems are being finally addressed, and some of the transfer window problems, you know, will come to and moan about all summer.
Well, I mean, look, I am less concerned about the Sun thing than I am about how we manage Harry Kane. I think that is the most determinative issue of where Spurs go from here. You know, if we rotate Harry Kane, whether that's Harry Kane and Heung-Min Son, then I think, or Harry Kane and anybody else, I think we're in a better position. But like Ben said, Harry Kane is our guy that has been he's been 180 minutes every week for the last, 4 or 5 years now. And I think the issue is, can we convince Harry Kane that, like, you're not 180 minutes anymore, you're 120, you're 90, you're, you know, whatever the number is. Like, can you get to that point? And, like, look, we've brought in Vincent Janssen. We've brought in – you're not brought in, but we've had Troy Parrott in existence. Like the issue is, like, can you bring in a player? Like, a player that we've been linked with, like Milik from Napoli. Like, can you bring in a player like Milik and then use him in rotation with Harry Kane in a way that both keeps Harry Kane fresh – and also keeps Harry Kane happy? Like, can you make that trade-off? And I think that is the key for Spurs. And I think even without bringing anybody in, you could trade Harry Kane off with Son. You could rotate how they play. Look, we may not even be in the Europa League, let alone the Champions League next year. And so, you know, we may not have European fixtures to worry about, and Harry Kane may be able to play every single fucking minute of the Premier League. That may just be a thing. But, like, if we have other competitions that we are participating in, like, there's plenty of minutes to go around to other players. And whether that's rotating with Harry Kane rotating with Heung-min Son, or playing Lucas as a striker, or giving Troy Parrott minutes, or bringing in some signing that plays additional minutes, I think that is going to be the thing upon which the Jose Mourinho era turns, and how we evaluate the success or failure of this, you know, sort of project that he's undertaking.
It makes you wonder how different Tottenham's history would have been if Vincent Janssen had been good for us.
Imagine. I think one of the underrated skills of Pep Guardiola is you look at that Man City team, and that roster is so stacked with talent. You know, they've got Sterling, Gabriel Jesus, Sergio Aguero, Mahrez, De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva, David Silva, Phil Foden now. You've got all of these attackers that cannot play every game. And his ability to rotate that squad around and give guys rests and not see a drop in performance and seemingly make everybody happy to play in that kind of system where, Mahrez, you're not playing every week, but you're going to play enough games that you're happy and everybody's going to be able to come in and do a job. You know, you don't see Aguero, throwing a hissy fit when he sits for Gabriel Jesus. You don't see Sterling, freaking out when Bernardo Silva starts ahead of him. Like, being able to convince your guys that this is a team and we can all be part of it together, I think is hugely necessary, especially when you're talking about a guy like Kane who, can't play as often as he'd like to. Convincing him that he is still the guy, but also he can't always be the guy, and that's okay, and to subsume himself into this collective is just... it's the only way forward, and I don't know if we can do it.
I think a lot of that comes from...
the Aguero-Jesus comparison is, 100% applicable here.
Yeah.
Like, Sergio Aguero is one of the best strikers in the, in the Premier League period, but of recent vintage. And he has scored a comparable number of goals to Harry Kane. And he has a backup in Gabriel Jesus, who is different enough that Jesus and Aguero can play together, but Jesus is also just an effective replacement for Aguero. And Jesus could probably be at another club and be a 20-25 goal a season striker. Like, Gabriel Jesus could probably be at Everton and be their best player. He could probably be at West Ham and be, comfortably the best striker that they've had in a decade. But he is at Manchester United, he is rotating, he is playing in a certain number of fixtures, and he is still comfortable, happy, scoring 10, 15 goals a season. And like, that is a testament to Pep, that is a testament to the team that they have developed.
That is a testament to the money they're throwing around, too, if
sure,
we're being
but
entirely
that's what
fair.
We need.
Yeah,
it would be nice if we could afford a platoon of players like that.
Some of it is just like Pep Guardiola is the biggest star at City. And some of that is a product of how City have reacted to this sort of money that came in. And some of it is just a product of who Pep is and what he's done. But he has an enormous gravitational pull, which for better or for worse, Kane has that at Spurs. And especially with Pochettino going, just no one's going to equal that. And it's a shame because we're in this weird situation where we either don't have the money or don't have the influence to sort of tell Kane, shut the fuck up, sit down, and rest your ankle this week. And I wish that Kane had enough sort of self-awareness to do that himself. But honestly, I mean, this comes back to, and we'll wrap it up here this week, but part of why you bring Mourinho in is to manage big names. And if Jose Mourinho can't sort of get through to Kane and tell him, like, Harry, you need to come off at the 70th minute, you need to, like, not play in a midweek fixture or whatever, if he can't do it, then who the fuck can? I mean, you know, because we're not going to hire Pep Guardiola anytime soon. On that note, I think it's time to wrap it up this week, because God knows we're going to talk a lot about Jose Mourinho in the weeks ahead. Ben, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at ComradeUSpurs, making fun of my Arsenal supporting wife for their terrible, humiliating loss today.
Did she watch it with you today?
Yeah, I watched it on my phone in our above ground redneck pool that we got that was slowly collapsing around me, which felt like a really perfect metaphor for this team.
Just North London in general, I think.
Yeah, I was just kind of like sitting in there, like at the beginning of the game, just hoping it would kill me and put me out of my misery. We had to take it down afterwards. But yeah, so she was just sitting there, like half watching, half listening to me screaming at my phone. So she watched it and she was pissed, and that was great.
Brian, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Brian_Ashlock. And that is Brian with a Y. And, you know, unlike Ben, I don't have any Arsenal supporters in my family at all because I am a good person. So,
and you can find me on Twitter at Skipjack0079. Please follow all of us. And, of course, follow Brett Rainbow. For Ben, for Brian, and, of course, for Brett Rainbow, come on, you Spurs.